U.S. intel partners with corporations and police to spy on civilians.
Is the FBI spying on domestic social justice groups in the United States today? Yeah, absolutely. There is no question.
Spending billions of tax dollars on cyber surveillance technologies.
They're hiding it, which should put a flashing red light on it.
But a handful of activists, hackers, and journalists fight back.
We care about digital security, transparency, and you attack it from a technology's point of view.
Risking everything to uncover corruption at the highest levels of power.
When it was decided that something had to be found on me, I mean, that was it.
Edward Snowden blew the lid off of the surveillance powers of the American spy machine. And part of his unprecedented leak was exposing the cyber-industrial complex for what it was, a network of private security and tech companies collaborating with U.S. intelligence agencies. Companies were making money hawking wares to spooks to spy on regular people, but that was 2013. I want to know if the government has backed off or stepped up their domestic surveillance programs.
So I'm in Dallas to meet a guy who I've been wanting to meet for a very long time. His name is Barrett Brown. He did actual time for exposing the cyber industrial complex.
Recently released and under house arrest, I caught up with Barrett at his office.
So you gotta make some phone calls.
Yes, we have to call the VOA, which is my halfway house, and we have to ask them why it is that I am not allowed to do an interview with you. Hi, it's Barrett Brown. I was calling to see if the BOP had gotten back to you with the wording I'd requested. Just give me a call back when you get a chance. Thank you.
I mean, you're not even an inmate right now. Yeah. You're not in a prison.
No, there's
but
absolutely
even then,
no,
why can't you talk to the media?
There's no stipulation against it whatsoever.
You know, you reported on the cybersecurity industrial complex, so to speak. How much do you think that's changed since?
It's changed.
Since you got out.
Frightening situation where you had the government allying with companies to go after activists and journalists and use disinformation, use criminal hacking techniques that you and I would get arrested for. Even when that gets out and gets covered by major news outlets and there's calls in Congress for investigation, there are no consequences ultimately. People have to decide if they want to be effective or if they want to work within a system that's broken.
Love him or hate him, Barrett is a legend in the hacker world. He was famously referenced on House of Cards and is an OG of anonymous reporting. He's also obsessed with revealing the covert actions of U.S. intel and did 4 years in prison for offenses in connection to a hack of the private intelligence company, Stratfor, a company he was ordered to pay almost $900,000 in damages. As part of the conditions of his house arrest, Barrett needs to conduct regular drug tests at a nearby halfway house.
How'd it go?
Yeah, good. How'd you say it? Just in a cup and breathe into a tube. And it turns out I was not drunk and not under any drugs that they can detect.
And you're off in a month?
Yeah, a little over a month. I'll be on probation. Probation is easy. It doesn't involve anything at all. I mean, prison's not a bad deal. Like, people shouldn't be, like, scared of prison. People should be actively putting themselves in positions where they might have to go to prison. You know, everyone needs to stop being such a giant pussy in this country.
So do you think your sentence was too harsh? So I remember reading about it and thinking, they're going really hard on him. And to me, it seemed like a bit of a shot at the bow at all hackers and leakers and anybody who's doing this kind of work, that this could be your fate.
Yeah, there was definitely a movement among the federal government throughout the Bush Obama administration to go after journalists and leakers and people involved in this sort of anonymous movement.
The U.S. government spying on its citizens is hardly new. Back in the 70s, anti-war activists stole FBI documents proving the Bureau illegally spied and disrupted the civil rights and women's rights movements. That infamous FBI program, COINTELPRO, was supposed to be about stamping out domestic communism. Barrett says the cyber-industrial complex is basically just COINTELPRO 2.0.
COINTELPRO was a template for a lot of the things that are still done in different ways. There's disinformation, there's stirring up a paranoia so as to interfere with operations. Those are generally the same objectives that these companies were trying to achieve against activists today. essentially, they were just doing a lot of the things that we've seen done by the KGB and the CIA and FBI over their long and sordid history.
Using the data from hacktivists, Barrett reported on how for-profit security companies were targeting activists. He exposed their strategies for gathering personal data on family members, threatening journalists, and leaking false documents to discredit WikiLeaks.
The FBI will provide documents on one group of people to Stratfor. Now, if you and I went to the FBI and said, hey, we want everything you know on our enemies, we probably wouldn't get that. That's the framework for fascism, that kind of relationship.
Are there things a private cyber industrial complex company can do for an intelligence agency that an intelligence agency can't do?
Remember, there was a lot of companies that were working with the FBI to come after me, and there was discussions about how to get me thrown in prison.
If that was their goal, then they were successful because you went to jail for a few years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have, you know, when it was decided that something had to be found on me, I mean, that was it.
Barrett's claim of the establishment trying to silence him might seem paranoid. But when I returned to Vice a few days later, I got some disturbing news.
So I found out that Barrett Brown was taken back into custody for speaking with me.
That's a direct violation of his First Amendment rights and underlines the risks of taking on the cyber industrial complex. Journalist Barrett Brown is back in custody after speaking with us about his role fighting the cyber industrial complex, a web of partnerships between U.S. intelligence and for-profit corporations, and is a reminder of the risks of taking on the spy community. But Barrett's not the only one dedicated to exposing their secrets.
I'll say it again. The records of government are the property of the people. Reclaim them. Hack the FBI. Thank you.
This is Ryan Shapiro, an animal rights activist turned transparency researcher whose work the FBI has literally labeled a threat to national security. He stopped protesting animal abuse when his fellow activists started getting convicted as terrorists. Now, Ryan uses the Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, to show the cyber industrial complex is illegally targeting activists.
So you told an entire room full of hackers to hack the FBI. Why'd you do that?
Transparency, very much including the Freedom of Information Act, is an absolutely essential part of a viable democracy. And yet, the FBI and other intelligence agencies view the Freedom of Information Act as a threat to national security. This leads to the outrageous state of affairs in which the leading federal law enforcement agency is in routine and flagrant violation of federal law.
What do we know about FBI surveillance from the FOIA requests that people have made?
Sure.
About activist groups within America?
The FBI explicitly has understood and understands largely any genuine threat to the status quo, especially coming from the left, as a direct threat to national security. Usually, the FBI believes, with some sort of foreign influence.
What do you think the current state of surveillance of activist groups is?
Is the FBI spying on domestic social justice groups in the United States today? Yeah, absolutely. There is no question. They are. I mean, we know it from documents that I and other folks have been able to get from the government through FOIA after years of the FBI saying, no, we don't have anything on Occupy. No, literally nothing. We literally have nothing on Occupy.
Suddenly they do.
Suddenly they do.
And Ryan Shapiro is not the only one using the Freedom of Information Act to prove U.S. authorities are spying on activists. I'm in Chicago to meet Freddie Martinez, a technologist and transparency activist who used the same FOIA system to uncover that his own city's police department was secretly using a device called an IMSI catcher, which collects all nearby cell phone communications without warrants or any public oversight.
What's up, Freddie?
Hey, Ben. How you doing? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
Freddie.
You, too. So you're from Chicago?
Yeah.
Born and raised?
Yeah, completely.
What's your organization about?
So Lucy Parsons Labs, we care about digital security, transparency, and you attack it from a technology point of view.
You're obviously concerned about surveillance.
Yeah.
Right? What kind of surveillance?
So the FCC requires people to get like licenses for turning on IMSI catchers, but they also have very strict rules about regulating its use, and it seems that the police don't really follow them.
One of the girls is kind of rogue here. She's been on her phone a lot. You guys picking up any information where they're going, possibly?
Freddie captured this audio from a police scanner. the Chicago Police Department used a Stingray IMSI catcher to monitor an activist's cell phone during a protest.
Yeah, we're keeping an eye on it. We'll let you know if we hear anything. She's spending a lot of time on the phone.
Do you ever feel like you're going to be, or you are being watched by the authorities?
I don't really worry about the question. I just hope that, like, there's enough political support for people that do interesting things, and hopefully that protects us all.
Do you think that there's this relationship where private corporations get to do things on behalf of governments?
They will go to law enforcement and say, use our technology, but only on our conditions. And one of the conditions of Stingray or IMSI catcher is that you can't tell the public about it. Private corporations are dictating the policy. It is also the case that the FBI will tell prosecutors to drop cases rather than reveal their methods.
Freddie is referring to contracts tech companies force police departments to sign to use their equipment. Federal intelligence agencies will broker these deals and include clauses prohibiting the police from making public any information about the technology, even if that means dropping child porn or mafia cases, relying on the tech for evidence.
Where's this going? Forget 4 years. Think 10 years down the road. Do you think what you're doing is going to be, in the end, useless and we're just hurtling towards this surveillance state?
We've been doing this for about 3 or 4 years, and there have been some really fascinating outcomes. There are states now that are pushing these warrant requirement bills on things like Stingray. There are people that are pulling the plug on surveillance companies like Geofedia. And so, it's easy to get nihilistic about the future and say, like, well, it doesn't really matter. But there are victories along the way, and so it's important to just keep fighting.
I'm in Chicago, where the police department has been using shady cell phone monitoring tech called IMSI catchers on activists. They're illegal to turn on without a license, but anti-surveillance activist Freddie Martinez built his own and promised to show me how it works.
Come back with a warrant.
Hackers.
What's up, man?
Hey, Ben. Come in. Snowden.
Snowden?
Yeah.
I think she might be a little cuter than Edward Snowden, to be honest with
you. Yeah.
So you actually have built the software for an IMSI catcher, but you can't turn it on.
So it's not functional, but, you know, just a quick one-line command, and we could be, you know, catching everything.
Just watching people's actions on their cell phones.
Yeah, you can get, like, SMS messages.
You can catch people's text messages.
Yeah, you can even, like, catch their phone calls.
I mean, obviously, you're somebody who studied physics, so not the average person can make this, but... Or can they?
Yeah, actually, anyone who's maybe a bit familiar with the Linux command line, sure.
And, I mean, what did you make it out of?
So we have a Raspberry Pi, which is like $50 computer, Lime SDR, which is a software-defined radio, and that's it.
That's crazy. And then do you want to show me?
Yeah, so basically I can decide which subscribers I want to grab. I can grab all of them. I can configure sort of the country code. I can configure the name of the cell phone tower. And then I can configure whether or not I actually, you know, want to tap.
Have you ever done it?
No, it's illegal.
But why is the Chicago Police Department using this technology? Do B-cops really care what activists are up to?
So we're really excited right now because a cop has now agreed to speak with us about social media surveillance and the use of things like stingrays and IMSI catchers. It's a guy from the CPD here in Chicago. It's a really difficult thing to do to get a cop to go on the record because, as you can imagine, the Brotherhood keeps a tight lip. So have you personally ever used a Stingray or an IMSI catcher or anything like that?
I personally haven't, no.
Now, if there were people in CPD using them, would you know about it?
I know that there are people in the CPD using them.
So do you think that, you know, CIA, NSA are trying to get local police departments to use these things and then actually have the information for themselves, the intelligence?
To use the equipment, there's always a catch where the information then needs to be dumped into a data pool, and the company will allow us to have that information per deployment with the knowledge that they're going to take that information to and do with it, you know, what they will.
So it kind of seems to me like there's almost this weird big data gathering
machine going on at the local policing level.
It sucks, and it probably shouldn't be done. But at the end of the day, I don't think there's a team of guys that are reading everybody's text messages. Unless maybe they're at a protest.
So police are gathering information on activists, at least in Chicago. But how is that intel making its way to the federal agencies? To find out, I'm in San Francisco with Nicole Ozer, an ACLU lawyer who revealed that state and municipal police are covertly spending billions on surveillance tech like IMSI catchers, then passing the info they collect onto the feds.
You know, do you see some of this stuff being an extension of COINTELPRO that the FBI used to do?
Yes. A lot of people don't realize, but since 2005, over $1 billion a year has been sent down from the federal government. That money, because it's federal money, has largely circumvented sort of traditional local oversight of city councils and board of supervisors.
You know, the one thing that worries me about these types of systems the most is that I've heard that these types of systems aren't necessarily the bread and butter of a local police department or even like a state police department. This stuff is really useful to spies.
Well, and the information that's collected from surveillance systems doesn't just stay in that one community. It gets funneled up to the federal government through fusion centers.
Fusion centers are federal entities collecting as much raw information about us as possible. Our cell phone activity from police using IMSI catchers, our purchasing patterns via private security companies, and social media surveillance, who we spend time with, where we go, and what we believe in.
They are supposed to connect the dots for the federal government, so they are spy centers. And there are fusion centers in every state in the country, and there are 6 here in California alone.
In 1999, the CIA founded InQtel, a venture capital firm using U.S. tax dollars to develop cutting-edge surveillance tech. Local police forces with more tax dollars handed down from the federal government then buy these technologies. The police use the tech to collect information on their populations, which is then funneled through fusion centers back to the intelligence agencies.
And federal fusion centers, you know, don't just collect data from government sources. They also pick up data from data brokers and other private sources. You know, once information is collected and you're in sort of that web of surveillance, you never know how it's going to end up being used.
How are our elected officials dealing with the threat of excessive surveillance? To find out, I'm heading to D.C. to meet with Jason Chaffetz, who was until recently the chairman of the U.S. House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. I'm in Congress to see how the politicians in D.C. view this battle between activists and the cyber-industrial complex. Until recently, Jason Chaffetz was the chairman of the U.S. House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. He's a hardcore Republican and a respected voice against unwarranted surveillance. Chaffetz worries the intelligence community's current behavior could lead to the suppression of our First Amendment rights.
This is definitely like an issue that goes on both sides of the aisle. Democrats and Republicans are interested in this.
My partner in arms here has been Senator Wyden, who's about as liberal and different on most issues, but we're very united on this issue because I think it's the American way. This personal privacy is something that was in part the foundation of our nation, and we have to be very careful. I need the FBI in particular to be candid with us. Thus far, they haven't. They've been very slow in providing the Congress the information that we've been seeking and demanding. They're hiding it, which should put a flashing red light on it. There's a reason why they're hiding.
Now, one thing that was kind of discovered is that law enforcement is sort of working hand in hand with these corporations that are creating these technologies by signing NDAs and protecting them from ever having any of this technology exposed in open court.
That's right. They'd much rather protect their own methods than they would to prosecute a bad guy.
And what do you think the effect is on activists and political gatherings that are going on right now?
I think people should be wary. I think it's going to suppress our First Amendment rights to peacefully gather and be able to protest their government.
And under our current president, do you think these issues will be addressed?
Well, I've dealt with this in the Obama administration. I thought they were terrible on this issue. I hope the Trump administration is better, but you have this bureaucracy that stayed the same.
After the interview with Chaffetz, we found out that Barrett, who had been taken back into custody after speaking with me, without permission, had been re-released from prison. I caught up with him on Skype.
Yeah, so, sorry about getting you in jail.
Frankly, good that it did happen so people can see the full extent of this.
I mean, do you think you have a mark on your back, so to speak, because of the work you've done reporting on this cyber industrial complex?
These people understand perfectly well that they have a green light, de facto, to go after activists and journalists, so long as they do not hit that artificial threshold of attention.
So today you're on probation. You switched, right?
Yeah, tomorrow I go to the DOJ office in Arlington, suburb of Dallas, and meet with a probation officer, and I go on probation for 2 years.
It's better than pissing in that cup for the halfway house.
Well, I still have to piss in a cup, possibly a couple times a month for the probation people now. But, you know, still technically I'm a second-class citizen. I can't vote.
Has it stopped you from, you know, ever reporting on this kind of stuff again?
No. I'm just not going to report on it from here anymore. I'm going to get it as far away from the effective grasp of the U.S. and its private partners in industry, and you know, continue this work in a more aggressive fashion.
As part of his continued fight against the U.S. government, Barrett is now developing Pursuance, a secure online platform where activists can collaborate far from the watchful eye of the spy community.
Now that we have a mechanism, the internet, whereby people can collaborate all of a sudden, that we need to be figuring out new ways to use it, new ways to establish a different civics that exists outside of these frankly criminalized institutions, and something that will actually be capable of confronting those institutions. So that's going to be my life's work.
In 2017, the U.S. will spend $54.9 billion on national intelligence. It's easy to say you have nothing to hide, but living as we do inside of the cyber-industrial complex, the data of journalists, activists, and regular citizens is mainlined straight to the FBI, NSA, and CIA if they want it. Some say that's the first step toward totalitarianism or the erosion of our constitutional rights. But one thing is for sure, if you rebel against the system, you can expect the system to come down on you.